Amen. Well, I tell you what, I don't know about y'all tonight, but Lord help, I think we could have sat here and sung about 3 more hours. Maybe just 3 more songs, amen, because I think y'all would probably fell over if you'd have sung 3 hours. Young'uns, I like some singing that's got some juice to it. Amen. And Lord have mercy, y'all get up here and rire back and sing, and like I say down to our church, that'll help you if you let it.
Amen.
You got to let it help you.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. It'll help you if you let it. You say, don't make a lick of sense. Well, let me say this. If you used to go to the doctor, and the doctor was to write you a prescription for whatever your ailment was, and the doctor was to say, here's your prescription, go get this filled, it'll help you. But you got to take it. But if you take that prescription, put it in your pocket, and leave out of there and go get it filled, who's to blame? You. Somebody tried to help you. Lord tried to help us right here a little while ago. A little bit of worship. I like worship, don't you? Amen. I think there's a lot of people afraid of worship. Amen. I think it'd make them get undignified and act some kind of crazy way. I guarantee you this, you don't have to act like me, but when something as big as God crawls up into something as small as you, ain't something going to happen. Ain't something going to happen. When the Holy Ghost of God gets in there and starts squeezing on your hearts, the juices are going to eventually come out of your eyeballs. Amen. Amen. I like it when it gets on that fashion. Amen. Amen. If you got your Bibles tonight, let's go back to the book of John, if you will. John chapter number 11 tonight. John 11. John chapter 11. Brett Graham's over there laughing at me right now on the Holy Ghost life because he knows. Last night I took him home. I took my wife and Mr. Riley to the church and I ran Brett on home. And he and I got to talking in the van on the way home and we just about had to stop and have a shouting spell. And it got me all messed up, and I've been messed up all day today, and I hope I can get this off of me tonight. And we can go home, and Brett, don't get mad that I get to preach it first. You can preach it at your church tomorrow. Amen. but anyhow, in John chapter number 11, if you found your place there and you're physically able, I'd like to ask you to stand. I want to read just two verses of Scripture, and I want us to honor that book that you hold in your hand and the author of it. Amen. John chapter number 11, you'll find tucked away the very first part of the chapter all the way down through, well, pretty much the whole chapter, down through verse 49, 44, 45, the story of Lazarus. But I'm interested tonight in verse number 3, when the Bible says, therefore his sisters sent, Lord, I feel it coming. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, won't you come on down there along about verse number 14. And then the Bible says, then said Jesus unto them plainly, said it plainly, Lazarus is dead. We find him sick in verse number 3, but in verse number 14, we find him dead. And I'll make that make sense here in just a few minutes. I'll just feel like a, Lord, have mercy. Father in heaven, I love you. And dear Lord, I'm going to need your help tonight. And Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us, God, to deliver our heart, God, in a fashion, God, that it'll make good sense to us this evening. And I pray that tonight, Lord, you'd save that one that's lost. I pray, God, you'd reclaim the backslidden. And I pray, God, you'd draw that one that's grown cold back to you, Lord, tonight. God, they can get to the help that they need. And I pray, God, for every home, Lord, every family. I pray, God, you'd meet needs as only you can. God, from the oldest to the youngest, I pray that you'd pay us everyone a visit tonight. Help us, God, to leave differently than the way we came. We'll bless you and we'll praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Understanding something tonight in these two verses of Scripture, we find, as we read there in verse number 3, that Lazarus was sick. They sent for Jesus, and then in verse number 14, the Bible says that if you read them other 10 verses right in there, you'll find out that, you just read it sometime, and you'll see that he wasn't asleep, that he was, or wasn't dead, he was asleep, and they tarried where they was there. And then finally, Jesus said in verse number 14, Lazarus is dead. And he said in verse number 15, "And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Now that he's dead, we're going to go unto him. And you say, "Well, preacher, why did he wait till he died to go down there to help him out?" And I said this many times, I'm going to say it many one more time tonight. Amen. And I'm not knocking the song and what people says about Jesus being 4 days late. I got news for you. Jesus ain't never late. Our Lord has never, ever, never been late. You say, "Preacher, but if he'd have got there," God help right here, "if he'd have got there when they asked for him to come, Lazarus wouldn't have died." Yeah, but if they'd have got there when Lazarus was sick, they wouldn't have really seen the power of Jesus go to work. I'm convinced of this. I believe with all of my heart where Jesus was, he could have spoke the word to the Heavenly Father and said, "Lord, make Lazarus well over there." But no, he had to wait for just a little while, and the timing was right, amen, and make his way over there to where Lazarus was. You say, "Preacher, I've been awaiting, and I've been awaiting, and I've been awaiting on the Lord to do this or do that." Well, can I say something to you? Just keep awaiting, because when his timing's right, he'll show up right on time, amen. And I'll say this tonight, when I think about being on time, fellas, I think about old Abraham and Isaac. When there's a heading up Mount Moriah that day, God dispatched Abraham and Isaac on this side of the mountain, and he dispatched a ram on that side of the mountain. God help. The closer that Abraham and Isaac got to the mountain, the closer that ram got to the top. Hey, man, you talk about timing. Right about the time Abraham was about to kill his son, the angel of God said, "Oh, wait just a minute. You trusted me, and I want you to know that God provided the ram that was needed right on time." Hallelujah. And I'll say this to you. If he can do it for Abraham and Isaac, he can do it for Mary and Martha, he can do it for you. He's sick, now he's dead. And Jesus said, "Now let's go to where he is." Well, they ease on down there, and the Bible says that the closer he got, they begin to see him there. And Martha ran out and met him and said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died." And I can't help to think that Jesus, and I'm paraphrasing what Jesus is saying, "Yeah, but if I'd have been here, you wouldn't have really seen my power." I got to get off that. That's about to kill me. But the Bible tells us that Mary came in verse number 32 and said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Bible said in verse number 35 there that Jesus wept. There's a crowd there, there's a wailing, there's a groaning. Jesus was groaning in his spirit there in verse number 33. Jesus wept in verse 35. And the Bible says there in verse number 37, "And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, cause that even this man should not have died?" See, they're even saying, if he is the one that opened blinded eyes, why couldn't he have stopped this man from dying? Verse 38, "Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the ground." Can I stop right here? When I think about that groaning in himself business, now you imagine Jesus standing over here in all his glory and all of his righteousness, and he hears that crowd over there. If he'd been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. They just kept on and on nagging and nagging and nagging. And when I think about Jesus groaning in his spirit, I can't help but think he's over here like this. That's comical in a way, but I wonder how many times a day when the Lord looks out over the banisters of glory and he watches the way we live, if he don't have to stop and say, So don't knock Mary and Martha, and don't knock this crowd that's gathered and causing Jesus to groan until you get your life straightened out to where you ain't making him groan. I got to get out of here. Verse 38 says that Jesus groaning in himself cometh to the grave. And here was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Now I'm about to have myself a good time right here. Then the Bible says in verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha the sister, that was of him that was dead, saith unto him. This is important right here. Lord, by this time he stinketh. For he hath been dead for 4 days. I think she throwed it back up in his face again. Remember Jesus? He's been dead now 4 days. If you'd have got here when we called for you to get here, he would have been dead. But in the meantime, she says, by now, Lord, he stinks. And you know what I think my crazy way of thinking is? I think that Jesus had every right to say, well, all right then. That's the way you want it. You called me down here and I got here when I felt like it's time, but if you're going to let his stinking body stop me from taking a work in his life, then so be it. Put the stone back on. Now I'm out of here. But you know what I think what the Lord done? Oh God, it's getting big in here. I can't help to think that the Lord laid his arm around her. Right about the time she said, Lord, by this time, he's stinking. I can't help to think that he put his arm around Martha. Said, Martha, I know he stinks, but don't let the stink stop you. Let's not let this stinking dead body stop us from seeing what I can do. You called me down here. You know I've got the power to raise him up. You think I'm going to let a bit of... Oh, God, help. Woo! You reckon I'm going to let a little bit of stink stop me, the Son of God, from raising this boy Lazarus? He's my friend. I love him. You think a little bit of stink's going to stop me? Can I stop and ask y'all something right quick? How many of y'all ever had them, man, that stinks kind of days? Y'all ever had them days where you say, golly, boy, that stinks. That's awful, man. Shoo, Lord. Didn't see that coming. And for every time you say, I didn't see that coming, the Lord looks out of heaven and says, I did. Ain't nothing ever caught the Lord off guard. Martha, do you really want this stinking situation right here to stop me from raising Lazarus from the dead? I can do it if you want me to, but if you let the stink, if you want to let the stink stop us, that'll be fine. I'll just go on about my way. I believe Jesus had every right here, and I wrote this down right here so I wouldn't forget it. Martha, I got a deal I want to make you right here. We can either leave him laying in there stinking, or we can have him standing here living. It's up to you. You know what he's saying? You can even have this, or you can have that. Y'all ever watch that little television show, game show? I think his name's Howie Mandel on there. What's that show called? I done asked him once today. What was that called? Deal or No Deal? Deal or No Deal. Y'all ever watch that television show? Got all them little money suit or briefcases up there? And Howie Mandel says, you got the opportunity to take this or go for more. Deal or No Deal? So tonight, we're going to have us a little deal or no deal. You can be stuck with this that you have, or you can leave out of here with that that he has. The choice was Martha's. Martha, okay, I realize he stinks, but do you want him out or do you want me to just leave and just go on about my business? Hey, some of us here tonight that's going through some pretty stinking things right now. Some of you, no doubt, probably in your life, that just feel the Holy Ghost pulling me right over here on this side. Some of us tonight went through some, man, that stinks kind of days today. But you know what's a good thing is? Don't let the stink stop you. Don't let the stink stop you from getting the help you need tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. I got to get out of here. He said, listen, Martha, I know he stinks, and I know his body is beginning to decay, but let's not let that stop us. Let's not let the stink of the situation stop us from getting resurrection power here in the graveyard. You can have this or you can have that. Man, I begin to think about some folks through the Bible. I'm going to hurry and get out of here. But I begin to think about some folks through the Bible that had a deal or a no deal that they had a choice to make. They could either have this or they could have that. I got to thinking about old Paul and Silas. They'd been beaten. They'd been out preaching, doing the work of the Lord, been beat half to death, thrown into the inner prison. And there they sit. They had an opportunity. They had a decision to make. Either we can have this or we can have that and get out of here. What are we going to do? The Bible tells us along about midnight they begin to sing and pray and have church down there in the inner prison. Amen. And you, oh, God, help right here. Woo, glory. Can I have myself time right here? Can I just have myself just a small little time right here? Every time I think about Paul and Silas, there's little something comes to my mind. And I'm just going to have myself a good time while I'm here. Amen? Yeah, amen. Paul and Silas in the inner prison. They've been locked up. They've been beat. They've been chained up. They're licking their wounds and bandaging their wounds. They're in the inner prison, in the nastiest, in the sludge pond of the prison. In the inner prison where everything runs downhill. No doubt standing in water, standing in waste. It was a nasty situation. But did you know even in a nasty... Oh, God help me.
Yeah, go ahead, preacher.
You know what Paul and Silas had every right to say? Boy, this stinks.
Yeah.
And literally mean it, probably. This stinks. A while ago, we was out there serving the Lord, but now look at us. We're in a prison down here, chained up. Ain't no chance of us getting out of here. Now what are we going to do? Long about midnight, this is my crazy way of things, leave me alone just for a minute. Long about midnight, Paul's sitting over in the darkness of the inner prison. Silas sitting over there somewhere in the inner prison. Y'all going to have to help me right here. Hey, Lord. Long about midnight. Paul says, hey, Silas, where are you at? And Silas says, I'm over here, Paul. I'm trying to get the bleeding to stop on my arm. They about beat me half to death. I know, Silas, I know your pain. I know what you're going through. My heads are hurting. My backs are killing me. My feet feels like they're half broke. But you know what, Paul? You know what, Silas? God sure has been good to us. Let's not look at our circumstances where we're at right now. Let's look back at our life and see what the Lord done for us before we got right here. May we just go ahead and say right here, that same God that blessed him on the outside came by and blessed him on the inside. And I say, blessed be the Lamb of God. That same God that helped them, can help you and I tonight. Boy, this stinks. Paul, what you going to do? Ain't no hope of us getting out of here. What are we going to do, Paul? Paul says, I don't know. I don't think we ought to sit down here and feel sorry for ourselves. I don't think sitting down here whining and complaining is going to do any good. Let's just have church. You don't think, Silas? Silas says, that sounds pretty good to me, Paul. What you got on your mind? Paul says, well, here's what I've been sitting over here thinking. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him when I can see no way. He makes a way. Silas says, and did I mention that he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. Bible says that they begin to sing, they begin to pray. Holy Ghost stepped by down in the inner prison of their cell. Walls begin to shake, ground begin to move, chains fell off. Hallelujah! Nothing can stop a child of God that'll make their mind up that we're going to praise the good Lord. You say, preacher, I can't praise the Lord when I'm down and out. Well, you've got the wrong kind of goods that I've got. Because, honey, if the only time, God help right here, whoop. If the only time you can worship and praise the Lord is when you're on the mountaintop, honey, you ain't serving the same God I am. Because He's just as real in the valleys, in the stars, as He is on the mountain. And He needs praise. He needs worship. Amen. Paul and Silas begin to pray their way out of there. Sing their way out of there. Holy Ghost comes down through there and says, boys, God make a deal with you. Deal or no deal. You can have this or you can have that. You keep a singing. You keep a praising. And I'll open that door right up yonder. Holy Ghost comes by and says, listen, these prisoners are watching you. These prisoners are listening to you. They're wanting to see what you're really made out of. That's what your Bible says. Bible says the prisoners heard them. And if all they heard was God's men whining and complaining, that guard would have probably went in hell, amen, and still been there this hour that we're living. Holy Ghost says, listen, boys, I know it stinks down here. I've been down here a whole lot longer than y'all have. I was here waiting on you. That's fresh right there, Reggie. That's fresh. I had this spot saved for you long before you knew you was a coming. I was here waiting on you. Can I say this tonight? Them heartaches and them storms you're going through, don't think you're there alone. We serve a God who knew you was headed that way, and He was waiting on you when He got there. You say, how so, preacher? Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's a God down yonder in the furnace awaiting on them when He got down there. And if He can do it for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, He can do it for me and for you. Amen. I was sitting here waiting on you, boys. Just keep singing. Them other prisoners were listening to you. Saul or Silas, keep a singing over there. I know you ain't got your voice, and I know you can't sing in harmony, but you still got to sing. Woo! I know you can't sing on key right now, boys, because you're angry, you're mad, you're worried about what's going to happen. But I got my God help right here. I've got my hand on the doorknob. If you'll sing one more verse of that song, I'm about to knock them chains off. I'm about to open that door. Don't stop singing. Don't stop praising. There's a God who's still on His throne, and He's waiting to hear from you. Amen. Lord have mercy. I thank God for confirmation. I thank God for confirmation. They sung their way out of there. Now the door's open. All right. The door's open. Chains are gone. And they look up there. And there's that guard. Pulls his sword out. I'm about to help somebody right here. I'm about to help somebody right over here on this side right here. That guard pulled his sword out, standing up there outside the prison up yonder, and he's just getting ready to kill himself. Because he thought all the prisoners had escaped. And then from way down yonder in the inner prison, they hear a voice, hey, do thyself no harm, for we're all still here. What in the world y'all doing down there? The door's open. You ain't got no chains on you. Why ain't you gone? Well, I'll tell you why Paul said. Holy Ghost is down here. We ain't going to leave where we done felt the Holy Ghost of God. Hey, the Bible says that the guards called for life and sprang in there. God help right here. Does the Bible not say that he fell at their feet and said, sirs, what must I do to be born again? You know what's a blessing to me? That guard that was up yonder, was getting ready to kill himself, came and got in the same mess that Paul and Silas and the rest of that crowd was in. Said, I don't care how filthy it is. I just realized I don't want to die and go to hell. Tell me what I got to do to be born again. Bible says, Paul and Silas made their mind up, we're not going to settle for this. We want that. Can I tell somebody that's here tonight in your nastiest of situations? That ain't even a word. It's bad. Let's just say, in your bad situation, you don't have to stay there. But you say, preacher, but it just stinks how bad it is. It's just awful. You just don't know how bad I got it. You're right. I don't. But there's a God in heaven, as I told you a while ago, has already been where you're at right now. And he's ready to wrap his arm around you, lock arms with you. And escort you out of your stink. But you've got to make up your mind, deal or no deal. The Lord says you can have this or you can have that. You can have what you've got right now, or you can have a whole lot more better. But you got to make your mind up on what you want. Just like Mary and Martha. They sent for Jesus. God help right here, preacher. They sent for Jesus hoping for that. Can you see that? They sent for Jesus just wanting just a little bit of something. Just a little bit of something. I mean, after all, you go through your Bible, it wasn't nothing for him to heal the sick.
Right.
All they wanted Jesus to do is come by and just lay his hand on Lazarus and breathe a little word of prayer to him and make him better. All they was asking was that.
Right.
Yeah. Lord, we just need a little bit. We just need you to bring Lazarus. He ain't feeling good. We don't want to lose our brother. But then the Lord come by and said, well, you can have this, but I brought you this.
Amen.
You make your mind up. You want to be satisfied with that?
Good.
Woo! Lord, help me right here. Help me. Help me right here. You can be satisfied. Lord, have mercy. Y'all can be satisfied with this. Or you can make your mind up and be happy with this. Amen? And I'm going to say this today as a pastor of a local Baptist church. I get sick and tired, Jay Burden. You one of my boys that steps right there on the front row every time I preach. That boy's sitting right there in the corner just staring me down.
Amen.
But I get sick and tired of being around a bunch of people that get satisfied.
Amen.
Just get satisfied. This is all right.
Yeah, you're good.
This is all right. This is fine. Let's just get satisfied with what we got right now. Hogwash. Heard another preacher say one time, my hind leg gets satisfied. You know what? Hey, listen to me right here, Pleasant Grove, Maple Springs, and whoever else is here not representing your church. And I sold this to Maple Springs. If I can sit down there, I'm going to sit up here to y'all. If you get the place in your life where you get satisfied, you ought to go out there and stand on your front porch, just gather the church together, stand out there on the front porch, line up and down the sidewalk, maybe around the front out there, just stand there. When you get the place where you're satisfied, just stand out there and wave at people, smile, and say, go to hell for all we care. We got what we want. We're satisfied right here. We don't need no more waving everybody going up and down 60. We're all right. You just die and go to hell. Get on out of here. We got what we want. We don't want no more. Hey, man, it got tight right there. I'm telling you something right now. There's a lost humanity on their way to a devil's hell. And shame on a bunch of stiff-necked church members and so-called child of God when we get to the place where we're content.
Amen.
Amen. Pretty good. So you can be happy or satisfied with just a little, or you can be happy with a whole lot. I'm going to run me one little rabbit. I told a fellow last night I wasn't going to run no rabbits, but here comes a little rabbit. Every once in a while, me and Miss Kim, Ethan, will for lunch. Young'uns are at school, and I'm at the hospital or out running around. And I swing back by the house, or maybe we're together. I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes we're together. Sis, we'll go to McDonald's, and we'll go into McDonald's. We'll eat lunch. Don't need a whole lot. Be honest with you. Both of us orders a Happy Meal. We both orders a Happy Meal. She'll get a cheeseburger with no onions, and I'll get a regular cheeseburger. Sometimes we mix things up and get chicken. But anyhow, we'll get them Happy Meals. And now this world's got so health-crazed, something's in their head wrong, and And would to God. They say, would you like yogurt or apples or more fries? You don't know how many times I've wanted to say, can you supersize that Happy Meal? Give me the large fry and the big drink. I'm happy with the little cheeseburger, but man, McDonald's French fries, whoop, out of this world, friend. I saw people back there raise their hand on French fries. They ain't worshipped all night. But you know, that's about the way we are. We'll be, God help right here, we'll be satisfied with a little Happy Meal when we can look beyond the Happy Meal, look up there and say, give me that Big Mac meal. And super, God help. God help. Now McDonald's has got the Baby Mac or whatever it's called, and then a Big Mac and a Monster Mac. I would have got, y'all stay with me. Everybody in this church will be at McDonald's before this service is over. But listen to me. What I'm trying to say is this. It's up to you on what you put in right here.
You're right, preacher. Yeah. You're telling the truth, brother. Amen. Yeah, go ahead.
Right here. We had a little three-day revival down there at the church a couple weeks ago. Our church had been through some storms, and we'd been hurt, and we needed some healing. And I called a revival. I think it was on Wednesday night. Maybe it was. I said, listen, we're going to go in the meeting next Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're going to go in the meeting. And that Sunday night before, or was it Sunday morning? Sunday morning. We had preachers coming Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Four different preachers. Sunday morning, I went over at the fellowship hall and hijacked a bunch of forks. And I gave everybody in my church a plastic fork. And I said, now here's the deal. Here's the deal. I said, you take that fork and you put it somewhere where you're going to look at it from now to Wednesday night. And let me tell you something. We're going to have a table set right here at Maple Springs for you to come get you something to eat. But you're going to decide right now if you're going to use that fork to feed the flesh or come to God's house and eat the spiritual food. Because here's what the deal is, young'uns. The more you feed that fleshly man and starve that spiritual man. And I said, I'm trying to hurry right here. But I feel liberty right here. Amen. But the more we feed the fleshly man and we starve the spiritual man, the more apt we're going to wind up getting in a gom of a bunch of trouble. We're going to find ourselves right in the middle of storms and heartaches and pains and sufferings. And I've seen it, Brother Braden. I think you've been this thing a whole lot longer than I have. I don't know. But have you ever noticed, and Brother Marvin, I know, bro, I love you, preacher, but I tell you what's the truth right now. Have you ever heard and saw the sight when you see people and they don't come to church about twice a month, but when heartache comes and a storm comes and a tragedy comes, preacher, pray for us. We've wound up in the biggest mess. Oh, Lord, I don't know what we're going to do, preacher. Can you have a church pray? And in the last month, you couldn't find them with the FBI. They're out there feeding that flesh. And then when the storm comes, they want everybody in the world to rally around them and expect us to just...
Amen.
So what my heart is tonight is, what are we going to feed? Let's not be satisfied with this. Make up our mind. Not, I'm tired of being satisfied. I want to be happy. Then you need to step up to the menu tonight. And say, Lord, I want to supersize. I'm tired of going on right. God help. I'm tired of just going on rations, Lord. I'm ready to pull up the table and eat.
Yeah.
Amen. You can either go down there, back to McDonald's, and I promise you I'm leaving you alone. When they give you that option and that Happy Meal, you can have apple slices, yogurt, or more fries. They said you can have this or you can have that. It's your choice. What my heart is where my burden is tonight. And I feel like I'm just right about being done. The Lord just slowed me down right there. Hey, some of us in here tonight, you're in a place in your life that it's decision-making time. You can have this or you can have that.
I find over there in the book of Exodus, chapter number 8, verse 1, that Moses went to Pharaoh by the word of the Lord and said, "Let my people go." Four different times, you read your Bible, I'll show it to you after I got it wrote down right there. I ain't got liberty to get way deep in it, but four different times, Exodus 8 and Exodus number 10, Pharaoh says this to Moses and the children of Israel, "I'll let you go under one condition. I'll let you serve the Lord, but first of all, you're going to do it right here. You're not going to leave. You do it right here." But then he goes on after another plague, comes back and says, "Listen, I'm going to let you serve the Lord and you can leave, but don't go too far." Then the next time, if I'm not mistaken, next time they come and say, "Listen," this is in chapter 10, verse 11, I believe it is. He said, "Listen, you can go serve the Lord. You men can go, but you leave your women and your children here." Goes on a little bit further and says, "Listen, I'm going to let you go serve the Lord, but you leave your possessions here." Got me to thinking about that's the way it is with this world that we're living in. A lot of God's people right here. Listen, Pharaoh said the first time, "You can go, you can serve the Lord, but don't you stay right here." Devil would say, "You can be a Christian. You can be a Christian. You go ahead and get saved if you want to, but don't grow. Just stay where you're at. Just stay right here. Don't bloom and don't blossom and don't just stay stagnant the rest of your life. Go ahead and get saved, but don't enjoy your salvation." Then when Pharaoh said, "Listen, you can go, but don't go too far. Don't go out there too far." That's what the devil will tell some of us tonight. Make your mind up. You can have this, you can have that. Whew, I feel the Holy Ghost of God in here. Moses or Pharaoh says, "Listen, you can serve the Lord, but don't go too far." That's what the devil will tell you right now. The devil wants to tell you, you can serve the Lord, but don't be a fanatic. Don't get real emotional. Don't get carried away in this thing. Just go a little ways in this thing. Hold on to the Lord with this hand. Don't get too far. And hang on to the world with this other hand. And that way, if you want to teeter over this way on Sunday, that'll be fine. But if you want to kind of ease on back over here towards the world, that'll be fine too. Just don't go too far. That's what the devil wants to tell some of us tonight. Don't go too far. Don't get wrapped up in that emotionalism. Don't get wrapped up in that spiritual stuff. Don't be a fanatic. There's something about being a fanatic. It wouldn't take me long right here, and I'd have this whole church, if we could get carnal for just a minute, it wouldn't take me long to have everybody in this church just roaring. Especially you men. I could find out where the Dodge men were in here, if there is any of you. I'm just kidding. I could talk a great big talk on the Fords. Boy, I get them men rarely. Yeah, boy, Ford Power. Woo! And I could ask where the Chevrolet men were. Boy, we'd be fighting for it. It was over with on what truck was the best truck. Ford, Chevrolet, or Dodge. GMC, Toyota. I mean, everybody makes trucks now. We'll be a fanatic on things we want to be a fanatic on. Amen? I threatened one time, Brother Bill, and I think I done told Bill about this the other day. I threatened one time, depending on what season of the year it was, maybe like during baseball season, I was going to start preaching in an Atlanta Braves uniform. Because folk get excited when they see a ball player. Come football season time, I was going to get me a Carolina Panthers uniform, wear it every time I preached. Because you start talking about football and Carolina Panthers, boy, you get people on their feet. Yes, sir. NASCAR. I don't even know who's good in NASCAR. I wouldn't wear a Dale Earnhardt uniform, then everybody'd be crying. But you know what I mean? We'll be a fanatic on what we want to be a fanatic over. Right. Amen. Yeah. Why, in the name of God, can't we be a fanatic about the Lord? Yeah. Why can't we get excited when we think about our names not being or being written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not one hair on our head going to hell? Why can't we get excited that we're a child of God? We're joint heirs with Jesus. Got royal blood flowing through these veins. We sit around like, well, I don't know about that, preacher. You're not going to hell, friend. That right there ought to be enough to get you off your seat every once in a while. Just say, praise God, I ain't going to hell. Amen. Pharaoh said, you can go, but don't go too far. And then I'm interested right here, and I'm going to close right here. I'm done. I promise you, I'm done. That last one I said, you can go, but leave your possessions here. You go live a life of a Christian. You carry the title of a Christian, but keep being entertained by the world. Let that be where your possessions is. Let that be where your heart is. But I got to thinking about that third one I mentioned a while ago. When Pharaoh said, you can serve the Lord, but you men, you go ahead. And you know what Pharaoh was saying? We're going to split the family. We're going to split the family. We're going to let some of you go serve the Lord. Let some of you go out there and offer sacrifice to the Lord, but the rest of you are going to stay right here with me. I told you last night I'm a family man. I love family. I love my family. I'll ask you to pray for my family. Got two boys at the house tonight sick. One come home from school sick, and the other one come home after work sick. But I love family. And I'm going to say this right here tonight. You want to see the redneck side of this dude right here mess with my family. Amen? And if any of you men right here don't feel the same way, you need to get right with God. Amen? You say, preacher, you ain't supposed to be a brawler. I know it. You mess with my family, but you'll see something else. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen? But the Bible says, Pharaoh said, you take men, y'all go ahead and keep them women and children right here. And that's what the world wants to do to our homes today. He wants to divide the families. And boy, I could probably kill this thing real, real quick right here. But I'm just going to go ahead and just show what my heart is. You get over there in the epistles over there, you'll find out that the man is still supposed to be the head of the house. Amen. But it also says that the women's got their place at the house. Two men said amen. The Bible also says that the children ought to honor and obey their parents. Amen. That's still Bible right there. Amen. But I'm going to say this. I'm going to close. I said that three times, didn't I? The world would do nothing, would love nothing more better than to tear every home in America all to pieces. When you got a mom and a daddy and youngins and grandyoungins that's trying to live right with the Lord, buddy, the devil does not like that. But I'm going to tell you what my burden is, what my heart is, and I'm done. I'm closing right after this. You know what? If every one of us in this church tonight was to wake up in the morning and they to come out there and they to test the water that's in your well or in your spring or wherever, and they to tell you that your spring is contaminated, your well is contaminated, or the Wilkes County water reservoir, all that's contaminated, and we don't know what we're going to do, but if you keep drinking that water, you're going to take a chance on killing you and your youngins. You keep drinking that water, it's going to stunt your youngins' growth, y'all are going to wind up dying. I'm going to tell you right now, you need to do something. We'd spend money after money after money testing our property, digging wells, perking the water, testing the water here, and then you say, find out there ain't no good water on your land. You know what you'd do? You would sell your house, sell your land, and you'd go somewhere else to live where the water coming into your house would be healthy to your family. I'm telling you the truth. But you know what we'll do? We'll set our youngins in front of computers. We'll set our youngins and we'll let the babysitter be the television. This is crazy right here. I heard my daddy say this when he was preaching 20 years ago, and it blew my mind. As I got older, I realized what daddy was saying. 20 years, I remember Brother Marvin, my daddy saying this right here. We'll punish our youngins and tell them to go to their room. This day and hour that we live, we tell our youngins to go to their room. They've got luxuries more than ever. Room in the house. They've got everything they would desire. Mom, Dad, really go to my room? That's fine. Some punishment. Need to start telling them to go sit on the porch. Get out of the house. Let me say it one more time. Get out of the house. Be a boy. Be a girl. Go make mud cakes. Go skin the hide off your knees. Oh, that'll hurt my little John. That'll hurt my little boy. Don't want to hurt my boy my foot, friend. That's why we're... God, help me right here. That man got me stirred up in there in the prayer room. I don't want to get wound up right here. That's why we're raising a bunch of little sissy boys. Amen. Amen. That's where we're at today. Amen. God, I don't want to get started. That's where we're at right now when we've got more girls that's more manly than the boys are. And we just sit back and say, well, that's just the way it's supposed to be. No, it's not. No, it's not. Amen. I'm all about the women doing the women thing, the men doing the men thing. Women, God bless you. I love you, women. Men, we wouldn't know what to do without them. Amen. Am I right there? You say, yes, we do, preacher. Yeah, we can make it just fine without them women, okay? Now, don't you women do nothing as far as snacks goes on Friday night. Let's see what we got to eat out there. Right? We'll probably at McDonald's get us a Happy Meal. Supersized. Lord, help me. Get it back. Help me get them back. Lord, help me. My heart is this. You can have this, what you got in your hand. You can have this, be satisfied, or you can have that and be happy. Brett, give me near the cross. If you don't care, preacher, I'm done. I'm going to get out of the way and hand it to you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, I love you. And how I thank you, God, for the privilege of God you've allowed us to preach. Lord, there's things in the hearts and lives of people right now that stinks. God, help us, Lord, not to be satisfied with what we got. God, help us, God, not to get complacent where we're at. God, I know that you've moved in this place. Lord, I've seen it on the hearts and lives of people. I know, God, you're wanting to do something for somebody in this church tonight. Father, make decisions, make it easy. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Somebody needs to come get some help. Somebody needs to come get some help as we stand all over the house of God. As we stand all over the house of God, come on. Come on, come on, come on right now, come on. Don't be satisfied with this when you can leave with that. Come on, join these others, come on. Come on, lost person. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, won't you come right now. Let us know your heart. Don't be satisfied when you can be happy. Don't let the stink stop you. Don't let your heartache stop you. Won't you come? Won't you come? Say, preach, I'm tired of being satisfied. Lord, I'm tired of just being satisfied. Lord, I want to be happy. I want to be happy. Mom and Daddy, how's things at the house? I'm going to ask you this one more time. When's the last time your young'un seen you as Mom and Daddy? Locking hands together and bowing at an old-fashioned altar, praying for your home, praying for your marriage. When's the last time that you just got all the young'uns together that was with you and just prayed through? God bless you all. God bless you. Preacher, I can't give account for nobody else. God don't want you to give account for nobody else. Mama, he wants to know what you're doing. God bless you, young'uns. God bless you, young'uns. Homes are coming. Families are coming. Don't be happy or don't be satisfied. Get happy tonight. You don't have to leave with this. God's got a that for you. God bless you, folks. God bless you, preacher and children.
Folks still coming this evening? How about you? What about you tonight, friend? What about your family? to be honest with yourself, honest with the Lord tonight. Oh, there may be some things that stink. But I'm glad there's one tonight that can deliver. I'm glad there's one tonight that can and will help you. You may not understand it. Listen, he never did say we'd understand all of it. Sometimes things happen that God says, I'm going to work in this and work through this, that I might get honor and glory from it. How about it tonight, friend? How about it? How about it? Would you come? How about it, Mom? How about it, Dad? How about it, young person? Young man, young lady, how about it? How about it? Would you be honest with the Lord? I'm tired of this contentment. Lord, I want everything you want for me. Lord, I want everything you want for my family. Lord, I want to see you work in this place, in this community. Lord, I want you to take me and use me. Maybe you've not been worshiping him like you should. Maybe you trying to keep one foot in the world, one in the church. I don't know tonight, but as they're playing, as folks have come, would there be others that need to come? With nobody looking around tonight, would there be someone who wants to slip out the hand and say, preacher, pray for me. Or maybe you're here tonight and say, preacher, pray for my family. Pray for my family, preacher. God sees that hand and that hand and that hand and that hand. That hand, that hand, that hand, that hand, that hand, that hand. Do you need to come talk to Jesus about it this evening? Would you? If you're here tonight lost, would you slip up that hand and say, preacher, pray for me? I don't know that I know that I know tonight. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you, friend. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you tonight. Would you slip it up, take it right back down? Preacher, pray for me. Father, when we come before your throne of grace once again today, Lord, I stand in awe tonight of your goodness and your grace. Father, your great gift of salvation. Then, Father, for this opportunity and this privilege that we've been able to sit, Father, under the table of God tonight. And, Lord, we've been able to feast upon the Word of God this evening. Lord, thank you tonight for touching our hearts and helping us. Thank you for those that have come and gathered around this altar tonight to pray. And Lord, I don't know their needs tonight, but Lord, you do. And not only do you know the need, but Lord, you're able to meet it. And so I pray, Father, for each and every one this evening. I pray for the many hands that was raised all over this building. Preacher, pray for me. Preacher, pray for my family. Lord, I've never seen a time where the devil is fighting the family as much as he is in this hour in which we live. Oh, dear God, tonight, help us not to be satisfied and content with what's going on now, but help us to desire, oh God, tonight, that which you have for us and have for the family and what you have for this church. Oh, Lord God, tonight, you've blessed us, and Lord, you've helped us. And Lord, tonight, you've worked and done so many wonderful and great things among us. Lord God, tonight, I'm so glad that you are still on the throne. And I'm glad tonight, Lord, you're still able to bless and save souls and restore families. Lord, just do that work, Lord, that only you can do. Oh, God, tonight, help us to desire more. Help us to do more. Help us that we not grow complacent, Lord, in these last days, in these perilous times. Oh, God. You do that for us that, Lord, we can't do for ourselves. I am so glad tonight, Lord, that you are able. And Father, for that one here this evening, that, Lord, they don't know you. Surely in a number of this size, there's someone here tonight. Lord, if something doesn't change, you're going to walk out of those doors just like they came in. Oh, God, I pray, touch their heart. God, help them to see that the greatest need they have tonight is you. Thank you again this evening for loving us, for dying for us, for rising again, ascending back to the Father. Be our great high priest. We thank you tonight. Lord, I look with great anticipation. Lord, you stay you coming for the rest of this week, for the rest of this meeting. Lord, what you going to do among us if we would just allow you to? Help us to stay near the cross. Help us that we'd honor and worship and glorify you in all that we do. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray, and all God's people say it. Amen. Evening.
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate the Word of God. I stand in amazement of how God can work and move and speak and use the man of God. Well, we need the Spirit of God to move in our midst again. I appreciate those that have come this evening, gathered around the altar. And friend, if you leave tonight without any help, it's not God's fault. Not the man of God's fault. It's yours. You have to decide, deal or no deal. Do you want this or do you want that? Appreciate the message tonight, preacher. Thank you. Thank you. Help to our church. Give us something to ponder on. Man, I've said, from the time I come here till just recently, no one ever gets to a place we're dissatisfied. I want to keep us motivated with the help of God. God has so much more. I want all God has for us. I mean that from the bottom of my heart tonight. I want all that God has for us. He sure is a great big God. I want that suitcase that's got that me in it or whatever it was there after. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Give me that supersized fry. Amen. I want all that God has for us.
Amen.
God's already been so good to us.
Amen.
Blessed us way more than we deserve tonight. But boy, he sure is a good God. And I love him tonight. And I love you. And I thank you for being here. For those folks that have visited, we had a good number again tonight. Thank you for coming. I would ask you to continue to pray for the meeting. We'll be back tomorrow.